gorgeous, and welcome to the E-commerce Uncomplicated podcast, the place to be if you want to see your online brand absolutely thrive. I'm Lisa Jones, e-com expert, multi-million dollar brand founder, and mum. I now spend my days helping women all around the world to grow their brands. The E-commerce Uncomplicated podcast breaks down all the aspects of running a successful business into simple, actionable steps delivered in easy-to-follow, bite-sized chunks. If you're thinking of starting your own product brand, or you already have a brand that's growing, then you are in the right place, my love. Let's get started. This is E-commerce Uncomplicated. So guys, super excited today on this episode of E-commerce Uncomplicated to welcome, I'm going to call it one of my favorite clients, Ariel. Yes, Ariel, you are definitely one of my favorite clients and a beautiful human being. And I'm sure you guys will agree with me at the end of the podcast today, just what a kind, gorgeous, amazing human being that Ariel is. And I'm, as always in these podcasts, super excited to jump into the real and raw she conversation with Ariel about her journey building her brand. And Ariel has a hire business. So I'm going to put you on the spot in a moment, Ariel, and ask you for your elevator pitch. But ultimately, Ariel has a TENS machine hire brand called Bliss Birth. So welcome firstly to the podcast, Ariel. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Lisa. I'm really excited.
And give us your elevator pitch without that being stressful, but I think it's really important that we kind of, you know, we summarize what we do quickly and succinctly to like be able to pitch to people. So tell us, what does Bliss Birth do?
Sure. So nobody wants to be in more pain than they have to be, right? So birth is one of those experiences that can be incredibly painful, difficult, even traumatic. It's also one of the most important and special days of our life. And basically what we have is a device. There's evidence to show that it reduces pain, it reduces anxiety during birth. And how it works is you pop it on your back, you put some sticky pads on your back, and electrical pulses activate your nervous system to stop pain signals traveling to your brain, which keeps you calmer for longer. It helps women to stay at home for longer instead of rushing to the hospital, which in turn can like decrease interventions in birth, which is when things can really fall apart and start to go wrong. So for the price that we charge, it's like, you know, you'd spend $30,000 to avoid having trauma on your wedding day. Would you spend $100,000 to give yourself a chance to have less trauma on the day you give birth to your child? I feel like it's a no-brainer.
Yes, I'm in. I wish I knew about this when I gave birth. That is absolutely certain. And so you're a rental brand then, which is a really interesting business model. We're going to chat a lot about that today. But in our recent SheCom inaugural product awards, we actually had a whole category for rental hire business of the year, because there's lots of dress rental brands. There's all kinds of e-commerce businesses that are emerging now where people are not purchasing a product to keep, but they're purchasing it to rent for a specific need and then sending it back. And of course, you have both on your store. So technically at one point probably wouldn't have even been called e-commerce, but really it is now, because rental hire businesses are selling on an e-commerce platform, right?
Yeah. And mine's very much a hybrid. We're trying to do everything you could ever want for pregnancy and birth. And a lot of them, you know, you're just going to purchase it. And we do sell our machines as well. But the beauty of rental is, especially for those times where you're only going to need something for a really short period of time, why should you pay full retail price for that, for it to just sit in your cupboard? So it's better for the environment. It's better for your pocket. It's cheaper. So for lots of different reasons, I feel like it's a great business model. We hire businesses has kind of become our thing. We also have another hire business, which is totally different, but it's a really fancy toilet that we take to weddings. It's called a portable powder room. And we take it to weddings and we just leave it. So you can have a wedding in the middle of a beautiful field because you've got a bathroom, you just get yourself a tent and, you know, the hospitality guys, and you're good to go. So hiring things has become a business model that we really love and trust.
I love it. The portable loop. Fabulous. Powder room, portable powder room. I love it. And yeah, I agree. And some of you may have noticed if you follow me on socials that we just did our product award judging a few weeks ago, and I didn't actually buy a beautiful dress for that, but I looked $1 million because one of our clients is a Style Squad, Nikki from Style Squad. And it's become a real thing, hasn't it? In the same context as hiring a TENS machine as opposed to buying it, because you only need it for one thing. So also is the idea of renting a dress that you're only going to wear once and then sending it back, which is a fraction of the price, as opposed to buying the dress, wearing it once, and then having it stuck in your wardrobe. So I love this concept.
Totally. But it means we can get something that is a higher quality, it's a higher price point, but we only need it for that one day. So like another, Nikki's a finalist in that category. And so is my friend Alice from Mama Rentals. And she does these gowns, these like stunning over the top gowns for like maternity shoots and family photography shoots. And they're like stunning, but you're not going to wear that every day. So it means you can afford to get like a $300 designer gown for only a day because it's a fraction of the price. And the amazing thing, like for people listening to a podcast who are like tossing around business ideas, one of the biggest things about having a rental business is me and my husband, our background is youth work and social work. Like we didn't have a huge amount of capital to spend. And so we were like, if we're going to start a business, we're going to have to do it with a small initial investment. We don't have squillions to invest in building a business. The thing about a rental business is you can buy a small amount of stock, whatever that might be, and then you can hire it again and again and again and build your revenue, and then you can reinvest that revenue, slowly grading up your fleet over time. So whether it's dresses or like me, tents, machines, or for us, the bathroom trailer, you can get your word out there, you can build your brand, and instead of like launching hot and needing this really big initial investment, you can start small and slowly work your way up, just reinvesting the cash. As long as you're willing to do the hard work without making a lot of money straight away, you can build a really huge business without having to invest a lot of your own personal capital. So we kind of fluked to the perfect business model for us because we started off with 10 TENS machines. We had this little box of TENS machines, like our whole life savings, a few thousand dollars worth of TENS machines. We had 10, and now we're getting close to 1,000.
Incredible.
And that's, you know, not our own investment. That's the business has paid for those, for us to build that, those machines.
Amazing. So really the business itself now has a pretty big asset pool because it's unlike a traditional e-commerce business where you have an asset but you immediately sell it, you retain the asset. So the business has got a value and I would imagine is probably quite an interesting acquisition opportunity for someone else to buy. So if you've been following my stuff for a while, I believe that all e-commerce brands should be built to sell. Now, whether you ever actually sell or not is really immaterial because there's a few things that could happen in our lives that are unexpected. One is that we could just wake up one day and decide not really for us anymore. We want to go in a different direction. And then you have an asset you can sell. The second thing is, and you know, God forbid this ever happens to any of our ladies, but you could die, right? And so what about your family? They're left with a business that really was just self-employment as opposed to a business that is structured, systemized, process-driven, has staff, has operations, has assets. That would be something they could immediately sell. And I think that building a business that is a saleable business is a really clever thing for she-compreneurs to do. And I love the idea that this business model that you're building now has a really big asset pool in there and would be really attractive for someone to buy. So you're actually building yourself a wealth here.
Yeah, yeah. And like that asset pool, like God forbid something happened and it just wasn't working out anymore. I could liquidate that. Even if I can't sell the business, I own more TENS machines than I own car, house, anything else in my life. I own.
Amazing. So you've got a huge value pool sitting there that's you know, cash if you ever need it one day. I love it. So talk to me about the journey of being many things. I know having worked with you for the last year that you're a mum, that you're a social worker, a wife, and obviously have a couple of businesses that you're building. Like, how does that work? Like, we love to talk about the mummy juggle. And then, of course, there's the business story. There's a lot of stuff we could spend hours talking today, you and I. I know we could because we have in the past. But if we're to share with the ladies who are listening today some things that are really valuable, I always love to come back to, particularly because I know you're qualified in this area, the mummy juggle struggle, you know, like the humanness of building brands. Like, talk to me about this.
Sure. I think that, I mean, the answer to your question of like, how does it work? I think it's okay to recognize that it doesn't. It doesn't always.
Sometimes it does though. Sometimes it doesn't. Yeah.
I think that what I've learned over time is that there's light and shade. So, you know, the cost of building your own brand and your own business is the mental load. And mental load is something that I'm really, really passionate about. And I think that business owners and mums in particular, if you can sort of understand what mental load is. So like really briefly, it's worth reading lots of articles about and listening to podcasts on this itself. It was a really, you know, shifting concept for me, but a mental load is the idea that, you know, somebody else can stack the dishwasher for you, but who makes sure that there is dishwashing tablets? And who remembers that it has to be unstacked? And who remembers that you have to get the kids' lunchboxes out of their bags and put them in the dishwasher the night before so they're dry the next day? Who's carrying the mental load for all those things? Recognizing that building your own brand is going to come with more mental load than just having a 9-to-5. It depends on what your 9-to-5 is. My 9-to-5 has often been working with extremely traumatized young people. So there's a different type of, you know, mental load that comes with that. But you leave at the end of the day. And if you're good at boundaries, you can leave that. But I got to a point in my business where I was answering women's emails on the toilet. I was answering bed before I got out of bed. And I would get, you know, this woman who's labored in the middle of the night and something's gone wrong for her and she's emailing me about it. And I would just get this wash of like anxiety before I'd even got out of bed in the morning. And then I've got my little, you know, my little children who just want me to be their mum and just want me to be there and there for them emotionally. And I couldn't do that. So I think that recognizing that there's more mental load comes with that. And so you have to actually offset the fact that there's more mental load there. So I got to this point, you know, when I started working with you as a coach, I was super burnt out. I was like exhausted. I didn't know why my business wasn't quite working the way I wanted it to. I just kind of wanted to give up. I was working 4 days a week plus trying to be a mom. And the first thing you said to me is you are doing everything yourself. You are doing absolutely everything in your business yourself and you can't do that anymore. So I went ahead and I got a VA. Like I did everything you told me to do. Like I got a VA within like 4 days and I set her up and I got somebody to help me with my social media because I felt like I had to do everything myself. And if I can be really honest, I feel like women don't back themselves that they deserve to have staff in their business. I think they don't take themselves seriously enough or they're not comfortable with leadership enough to go and get those people in their brand. They just feel like I'm not that big, like I don't need to do that. And I mean, even me had a little bit of that mentality. And then so I went and got all these people. And then I had like this massive life-changing injury and almost had my leg amputated and was in hospital on and off for like 4 months, couldn't walk, was in a wheelchair. It was crazy. And I didn't lose my business because thank God I'd gone through this process of letting other people carry some of that mental load and deciding that I am allowed to have a team and I am allowed to have people help me. But one of the biggest like shifts in my thinking is like, I'm the leader of this business and I actually can ask people to do these things that I am very good at or these things that I'm not so good at. I actually can hand this over to somebody else. I have what it takes to lead them. I know what I'm doing and I can teach somebody else to do this for me. And I can learn from them too. My VA is like, I love her. I've never met her. She lives in the Central Coast. I've never met this woman, but I couldn't live without her because she takes my like messy creative thoughts and then she like actually puts it in a spreadsheet. And then when I don't do the things on the spreadsheet, she like texts me about it. I love it. And I couldn't have got through that period without her. So I think it's okay. I think sometimes we have to back ourselves. As a woman who's a business owner, it's so common to have people just not take you seriously. Just assume that it's like a little handmade like Etsy business, which is funny.
Totally side hobby or hustle.
Yeah. Or people are like, oh, how's your little shop going? Or I'll never forget, I had somebody come up to me and I actually love this woman, like she's the best, but she came up to me and she said, so I hear that Tim's like a big business guy, like he's an entrepreneur. And I was like, that's my husband. And I was like, no, that's me. Oh. I'm the big business girl.
Oh, it's so frustrating, isn't it? I'm going to guarantee that every chicompreneur listening to this podcast right now would be nodding their heads in agreement on everything you've said so far, Ariel. Not just that other people don't often take us seriously. Like, I love and adore my parents. They are one of my biggest supports in my life. And just recently, I reckon I'm 14 years into running my own companies, have they started to relax and think I might just have this. Up until about 12 years ago, I'm pretty sure they always thought you'd better get a job. daughter, at some point this isn't going to work out. And finally they realized that, okay, I think she can actually make this work and make a living out of this. And of course I figured that out 14 years ago, but and the other thing that I think is really, I want to recap, and what you've just said was so beautiful and so meaningful. And I think that for a lot of women, this concept of mental load is so important to talk about. And you've just reminded me how much we need to feature this topic and bring you into the programs and stuff, because it's such an important thing for women. It is not just also that we think small or that we sometimes doubt ourselves. It's also that it becomes a habit. So the habit is what I want to mention, because I know for a lot of women, it becomes a habit to do the things in our businesses. Like, I have to do the email. I have to answer customers, you know, even when we start to delegate, perhaps the cash flow is enough to the point now where you can hire someone 5 hours a week to do customer service, for example, it's still a habit to check it or to override it or something like that. So I feel that sometimes they say, you know, breaking a habit is really hard, and it's really true. It's not just that we maybe think small or don't back ourselves, or a man would never think twice about hiring people or building a team, but women are like, somehow feel like we don't need it. Or maybe it's scary, or maybe I don't deserve it. Or also that it's a habit just to do everything ourselves. It becomes a habit to hustle, a habit to live on the mouse wheel of waking up every day and tearing through life at a million miles an hour. And unfortunately, what happens in that habit is that we wear ourselves down. We're not good quality parents. You know, I am somebody who's been talking about this topic for many, many years, and I still don't get it right. My daughter last week, obviously a lot of you know I'm really busy building out these events at the moment, and I really try hard to make time for my beautiful 11-year-old. She's my whole world. But when mum is busy, and she's coming in here asking me mundane questions, I still find myself sometimes like unable to focus on her. And I know that she's like, I miss you, mum. And I'm like, oh, shit, parent fail, right? Like, we can't be everything to everyone all the time. We actually just can't. So what I loved about working with you in our very first, our first calls together was so memorable, because, you know, the first call was like, I'm broken. The second call was like, I'm fucking hallelujah. Life looks better, because I thought you went away for a while, and then I had a call with you and you burst into tears and you were just like, oh my God, my life is so much better because I followed everything you told me to do, which is to build a system in my business so that it doesn't rely on me. Because as a reminder, ladies, if you are the one doing everything in your business, you are simply self-employed.
Yeah. You don't give yourself enough capacity left to build anything.
Exactly. And that was me. Because you're like in, not on.
Exactly. It was like me for 3.5 years. And I just was like keeping the wheels turning. And like, I was working 4 days a week, and then I'd have a day with my daughter, and then I ran a business. Like, do the maths on that. When was I running that business?
Yeah. And let's be really clear, so everyone gets this. 4 days a week was a job, then a business, then motherhood and wife demo, right? Like, that is a lot of hats to wear, girlfriend.
And this was like, you know, well and truly a six-figure business by then. And I just thought that that was fine. So it was really life-changing. So as soon as I gave some of those mental load things wholesale, it's better to package up a whole part of your business and give it to somebody else, because then that's their problem. So you don't have to think about it. You're not trying to get all the pieces to make that work. You're not negotiating the different parts you're doing. Try and package up a whole part and give it away, and then tick that box in your mind and let it go, because it builds mental space. So I had to make a decision to do that, and they're not going to do it the way that you would do it, and you have to be okay with that. I think that's the other thing. You have to just let that go.
What if, though, they can do it better than you can do it?
And you know what? My VA does. She does it much better than me.
This is something I teach. Find someone better than you to do that role, and then in actual fact, not only are you not doing it, but you've upped it in your business so that you're getting a better quality social post. You're getting a better customer service reaction. All of those things can be done better by someone else, I think.
But like, the more people you bring into your brand, like, they have different things that they know and understand. I would struggle for 3 hours with a spreadsheet. My VA can do that in like 2.5 seconds. Why should I do it myself? So something that helped me in terms of like mentality with that is I gave myself like an hourly rate. And then I was like, if I don't want to pay myself, you know, whatever it is, if this is going to take me 2 hours, that's not worth my hourly rate. And by the way, I made my hourly rate in my mind higher than my VA's. And I went, okay, I can pay myself X amount to do this for 3 hours, or I can give this to somebody else and pay them. And then it helps to go, well,
$100 versus $30, right? Like, for it to get a task done, why would you even consider that? And more than that, the hourly rate of $100 for you and $30 for her, your $100 could make you $500 if you applied it to building the business as opposed to creating a spreadsheet that doesn't make your business any more money, right?
Exactly.
So it's also about amplifying your hourly rate, not just saving money or having it done more efficiently. And let's face it, if you're not doing the things in your brand that make you a bit because we've all got stuff like I hate spreadsheets too. If that's a yucky thing for you to do in your brand and you're no longer doing it, then you feel better. Your mental load is not only a little reduced, but it's also a little bit peppy, right? You've got a little bit more pep in your step. You're like, okay, today's better, right? Because I'm not doing that shitty thing I didn't want to do. So there's a million reasons why it's important.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel like relentless. So once you ease the mental load on yourself, then you are more likely to feel like less of a sense of you're trapped. You're going to have like less cortisol responses, so like less stress hormones in your body. Cortisol is like a poison. It's really going to poison you over time. And so if you're like noticing those bodily reactions when you're doing parts of your business, that's exactly what you need to upload to somebody else. And you know what? The two big things that you taught me, Lisa, in that time in my business is one, it's actually not as expensive as you think it's going to be. It's really not. Like I realized I was paying a couple of $100 a week. I felt like I was doing 50% less work. I was like, I've halved my workload and I'm paying this woman like a few $100s. This is so worth it. So it's not as expensive as you think it would be. And then secondly, you're allowed to have times of rest. And you're allowed to give yourself luxuries or routines that people don't have who work 9-to-5s. So this is one of my things that I've become really supportive of and very like quite protective of. And that's the idea that if I have to be responsible for this working for both me and my husband to earn a wage, like that's a lot of responsibility. That's a lot of mental load. If I have to do, and you know, I'm the accountant, I'm the freaking marketing manager, I have to wear all these hats, right? So I have a lot of mental load in my job. So if I don't want to start work till 10 and I want to have a coffee and a mindfulness moment every single morning after my kids go to school, then I'm going to do that. And actually, that's what I need and that's good for me and I'm going to give myself that. If I want to be, like I say to my husband, I'm like, what's the point of being self-employed if we can't? So if we can't walk the kids to school, what's the point of being self-employed? What's the point of going through all that extra sort of stress or mental load if we don't get some perks? So then I'm quite protective of the perks. And if you're like, well, that's great, Ariel, but I'm just starting out and I need to earn money. Give yourself some perks that are free. Like give yourself a fantastic work environment. If you're treating yourself as a boss in like an abusive way that you would hate for a boss to treat you if you had a 9-to-5 because it's not emotionally safe and it's not okay for your kids and they're requiring all these hours from you that mean your hourly rate is actually incredibly low because you're doing so much
or non-existent.
Right, or non-existent, which I think, again, women don't pay themselves, which is a whole nother thing. But then you're the boss and that's your decision and you need to change that. You need to give yourself a working environment that is safe and is going to let you thrive.
And I adore this, by the way. Like this is such a beautiful exercise. I think we should just piece this out for the ladies right now. Like, like this could be, you know, there's a million things in this podcast that are heartwarming and valuable. But I think if the listeners right now to this podcast could just take a moment to think, if I was, you know, writing a job description for myself as the boss, what would it look like? And if I was talking about my pay and my hours and my work environment and what might be acceptable behaviors and what my key responsibilities and accountabilities might look like, if I sat down and wrote that for myself, would I be harder or easier on myself than I currently am? What would it look like? I think that would be a really valuable exercise.
Totally. If your boss asked you to answer emails on the toilet and never have a lunch break, would you be okay with that? And
hell,
is that what you're asking from yourself? So instead, I kind of went, you know what? I want to be able to walk my kids to school. I want to be able to do mindfulness in the morning and have like a prayer meditation and a coffee. I want to give myself that. So I'm going to give myself that. Now, what's the advantage other than the fact that women already carry such a huge mental load because we do most of the domestic labor in our homes, which is why I think
just personally, I feel like female entrepreneurship is something that's very special and very rare for that reason, because we are already so overloaded with mental load. It just seems really, really hard.
I think that once you instill these things, what I've noticed in my business is that I've started to look to the horizon again. I can actually plan for the future. I've got all these ideas. I've got all these creative ideas for the first time in, you know, almost 5 years of running a business. I'm starting to have ideas again. I'm working on these big projects. I can zoom out and see the big picture of my business and what I want to move on, because I'm not driven by what's in crisis right now.
This is a really, really massively important thing. And I think we should just take a moment to stop and actually appreciate how important this lesson is. And I call it the bucket filling exercise, right? When we're trying to be creative, like think about a marketing idea or a reel we should create or our next product range for next year, that imaginative creative space that we need to come from, it doesn't exist with an empty bucket, right? Mm-hmm. When your bucket is empty and you're in fear and crisis and overwhelm, you can't be creative. And therefore, what happens to so many of our beautiful Shecon women is that they're on the mouse wheel in this fear, crisis, fire, you know, pain point, fire, putting out problems every day. And therefore, they're really struggling to A, do stuff for themselves, because it's hard to sit and be present with your own company to meditate and have a cup of tea in the morning when you're running around like an idiot, right? Mm-hmm. And then secondly, how can you build the brand when you're stuck in the brand, right? So it's so detrimental to ourselves and to our families and to our businesses to not cup fill, right?
Yeah.
It's dangerous to not do that, because we burn out and we give up. And so many women, I mean, I see it all the time. Every day online, there's a lady who's like, oh, I've got to sell my brand. I've had enough. And I think that's so sad because they've started their brand from a point of passion and they had such belief in creating it, and they've probably invested lots of money in it. And it's because that their cup is so empty that they need to sell it. So absolutely. What I know, this is your jam, Ariel. So what do you think? How could women focus on filling their cup up? Like, give us some strategies. I know you've mentioned a couple already.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's like some scientific, real basic stuff that people don't want to hear. Like, you know, if you've got lots of cortisol, the best way to work through that cortisol is to like go for a walk, is to have energy. If you want that, you're going to have to put some physical exercise into your routine, but do it from a place of joy and love, not shame and body hatred. I think that's the big key. Otherwise, you're just going to double dose yourself with a bunch of stress. And shame is an emotion that is just going to be the opposite from the emotions you want to feel when you're being creative and you're taking chances and you're building leadership in your brand. Like, all of those things are just the antithesis of feeling shame. So journaling stuff out is also really going to be really good for like mental load. I think this is a hard one, but one of the biggest things I had to do is actually have a conversation about mental load with my partner, with my husband, and make it and divvy it up differently. I'm the breadwinner for our family now. We've always had like, I'm the breadwinner, he is, I'm the breadwinner, he is. I already have like somebody who's very okay with things being very equal. But I think this is a hard conversation, but it could actually really change your life. If you go, this is what mental load is, you might do the washing, but I have to make sure that there's actually washing detergent, and I have to pick out the kids' clothes on the right day. I have to peg it out on the line later, like try it in the same way. If you can make that more equal with whoever you live with your partner, it's actually going to make a really big difference.
I love this, by the way, the mental load topic. I haven't even had the words to succinctly describe this before, but just sharing one of my stories this week that cracks me up. My husband and I have had a bit of a laugh about this in the last week, but it's also a really serious topic. And that's that in my home, we're both breadwinners, but definitely my income is higher than my husband's. Not that that is in any way relative to importance. And he certainly has a really important job. And, you know, it's a really big role, probably one of the biggest he's had in his career thus far. However, you know, we have two cars. We have kind of my car and his car. Now, we both own both, but still mine's mine. Mine's bright red and his is, a ute. So clearly it's his. And the ute is due for its first service. We've only had it about 6 or 8 weeks. And he says to me last week, this is like, 3 weeks out from the biggest event of my life, which is Shecon on the Gold Coast next month. He says, oh, honey, the ute's due for service. Can you organize to get it done during the day? And I kind of like looked at him and I was like, I didn't say anything because I didn't want to react. And it's actually, I've joked about it a few times and we've made peace with it. But I thought, why the fuck is that my job? You know, like it's your, you mate, you know, your job is just as important as mine. So you figure it out. And of course, he reminded me that when I need the bins taken out or I can't open a bottle or I need, you know, something out of the attic, I ask him to do it. He was more insinuating that actually I'm really good at project management and that I would be able to squeeze that in really well. But I think that what is, it's not even the physical taking the ute there, the mental load of knowing that I had to find an afternoon in my busy calendar and book it in and do the phone calls and the mental load of preparing for that. That's, you're absolutely right. It isn't just, you know, that he does do washing. You're exactly right. He never buys the washing powder or he doesn't think about the uniforms that are going to run out midweek as to when we do the washing. And there's a lot of stuff that women carry, a lot of weight of having to constantly think about these things. What are we eating for the next week? And, you know, there's a million. I couldn't even classify them all right now. And I think this is an incredibly important topic.
Yeah. And it's bizarrely, I feel, so relevant to female entrepreneurship. I actually think it's a big deal. There was a study that was done. I will try and find it and you can put it in the show notes, but it was showed that men who have a stay-at-home wife have like a lot of success in their careers. Women who have a husband are less successful in their careers than women who stay single. So there's something.
Of course there is.
About domestic labor or having somebody else do all that domestic labor for you that makes you more likely to succeed. And it's because you don't carry that same mental load. You have time to dream and think about your brand. You have time to dream and think about what you want to achieve. And you don't feel this constant sense of overwhelm. That's why I think it's so key. So figuring out how that works for your family or rewriting that script a little bit might actually be one of those keys that you're like, well, I need a new marketing strategy or I need this or I need that. Maybe you actually need to change the mental load and how that works in your household. So like to give you an example, my husband, who is very like, go babe, you do whatever you want, like my biggest champion, he does all the washing, all the clothes washing, all of it. He does all of the dishes. I don't clean dishes in my house. And he usually takes the kids to school and that's what gives me, but I pack their lunches, he takes them, right? So that gives me that half an hour to give myself that moment in the morning because I need that. And he has other things that he does. I pay all the bills. He hasn't paid a bill in our 10-year marriage. So there's give and take and it needs to be negotiated over and over again as things change. Like when I was breastfeeding, that's a different exchange. He needs to do more because I'm breastfeeding, which is hours and hours of my time. So in negotiating your mental load and how that works is going to free up your mind to be able to maybe be successful, not to make people stressed, but I look back on my business journey. I reached this point just before I came on to do coaching with you, where I just felt my business was like slipping away from me. It's just lots of things weren't working. I know now that I've learned a lot more about how to actually run an e-commerce store, what was happening, which was I entered a completely non-saturated market. And then in that year, it became a saturated market. So things that used to work weren't working anymore. And I think that if I hadn't made a lot of changes and I hadn't given myself that time to start building my own skills in leadership and creative ideas and, you know, I'm going to make a new website, I'm going to redo my branding, I'm going to do all these big picture things rather than be driven by putting out fires day to day, I actually wonder if I would have lost my business. I actually think I might have. And emotionally, I was on the trajectory to that anyway. So now I'm here and I know exactly what my goals are and I am feeling confident about them. And I have like a 12-year plan of a 12-year.
You can have a 12-year plan. That's great. I'm like, hats off to you.
I've got a 12-month plan of where I'm going and what I want to achieve. And I am only now putting out fires in my business at the moment because we're at the next level where I need to hire. And until I hire, I'm going to have to put out some fires. But we're scaling up. We're on this trajectory. I know where we're going and I feel that confidence probably for the first time in almost 5 years of running the business. So it is worth it and it's worth thinking about and it's worth reflecting on how much brain space you have for your business.
Everything you've said is so eloquently and beautifully put together. I'm so grateful to have you in my life, not just as a client, but somebody that I adore listening to. And this is why I didn't just hint. I told you at the start, you're one of my favorite clients because you're a really beautiful human as well. And I've loved watching your journey. And I think that everything you have just said is so incredibly relevant to our SheCom audience. I think it's topics that need to be talked about way more. You're making my brain tick in the background right now, thinking of ways that we can support our audience more with these topics, because we don't talk about mental load enough. And we don't talk about the cost of not managing the mental load. You know, like we've nailed a bunch of that on today's call, but really the ultimate cost is our own self-esteem, isn't it? Like, it's not just that our business may fail, it's that our relationship with our children and partners may not be amazing, but it's also that we somehow feel a failure. And I know a lot of women in SheCom brands, the ultimate failure is actually that they don't feel like a success. And for all of us, we attribute our brand's sales as whether we're successful or not. And there's a million parts of this we could pull apart. And I always say, one of the most profound lessons that I learned as an entrepreneur with my nappy brand was that I am not my brand and my brand is not me.
Totally. And you've had to coach me on this. Let's just be really vulnerable. You've had to coach me on this because I can get really down when things aren't working or when I feel really stressed and worried. And I think that's the other biggest thing about this whole, like, not just mental load, but in terms of mental health when it comes to being a female entrepreneur, is I don't know why I struggled on my own for so long when I could have invested more into this community and given time to having people around me. Because the irony of all this is, like, I know this. I'm a social worker. I literally, mental health is what I do. And I came to you, a totally broken woman who'd worked myself to the bone. And it was having somebody who'd done that journey, survived it, had lessons learned, and was willing to share that vulnerably with me, potentially saved my brand and definitely saved my family's income during a really incredibly tough time in my life. Like, that's a big deal. And had I not made that connection, and with somebody, sometimes you know something, but you need another woman to look you in the eye and say it to you.
I know that you're like me in the sense that we're quite empathic women, and a lot of SheCompreneur community is. Not only are we high achievers and clever, but a lot of us are the really empathic, sensitive style females that we take on a lot, we feel a lot, and we get very mentally affected by it. So, you know, the up and downs, a lot of us suffer from anxiety and depression. I'll put my hand up and publicly declare, you may have heard me say before, but I take an anti-anxiety tablet every night before I go to bed. And that is to try and help my highs and lows. And because I feel a lot, I'm very sensitive as a human. I can watch an ad on somebody retiring and I can burst into tears, right? So how do you manage that and have thick skin in business where you try not to let stuff impact you? I've 14 years I've been working on myself in this space, and I'm not saying I'm perfect, but there is a lot to learn in this space of how to make the most of managing our mental load in the space. And I think we've covered off a lot of stuff today. And I think there needs to be a podcast take two with you, honey. High five for listening this long. But I think they'll be nodding their heads right now, because I know this is a topic that is not done. We need to talk about this more. And I am thrilled that we haven't really talked at all about the e-commerce strategies that you've used today. But I feel this was more important in our podcast conversation today around how do we look after ourselves and how do we make sure that we feel successful and happy, and we have a vision and we're able to be there for our families by managing our mental load. So I am just super thrilled that we ended up, like all good podcast hosts, I never really know where the podcast's going to go, but I think this was exactly what needed to be talked about today.
Yeah. And, you know, in the end, our biggest asset in our business is us.
Yeah.
Lisa, you're the one who taught me that. So I think that's so true. And I think that it's worth investing some time into. So yeah.
I mean, guys, when I ended up rambling about that, because it's really something I'm passionate about.
And then let's just finish by saying that at the start of this conversation, before I press record on the podcast, you and I were talking about the fact that as one of my mastermind students, you're coming to the Gold Coast in a couple of weeks, actually 2 weeks, to our SheCom event. And you've also attended the retreat that I ran in May. And so you already know some of the mastermind students outside of the virtual world that we mostly conduct ourselves in. And you're really excited about hugging and having meals and talking to and laughing and feeling the energy of, you know, 300 collective women in a room. And that can't be underestimated, can it, in this entire mental load conversation. So I feel like we need to just finish with a small piece on how important this is for us.
Coming to the retreat was a huge, huge shift for me as a business owner. I literally feel like it's worth every cent to get around. It's, you go into this room of women and they're drinking champagne and they're all female business owners.
Just like let that sink in. It's life changing. And then like we're talking about like Shopify integrations instead of like the fact that our kids don't eat their lunches. Like, and there's nothing wrong with that conversation, but I have those friends, but I didn't have any friends that were e-commerce owners. So it's been absolutely life-changing, so empowering, amazing. I made two local friends. We went out for drinks. We had like 4 hours of deep and meaningful conversations here in Wollongong. It's been, I'm so excited to go with them. We're going to share rooms together. It's the best. Well, I'm so excited. And I feel like finding that community has been a huge piece of the pie to make me feel like I can keep going and keep doing this. Yeah.
Yes, because it's like a mirror, isn't it? We like, instead of feeling like we're the odd one out, we actually realize we're in a room of unicorns just like us. Like if I was to describe the SheCom community for me and my mission to build this to just be such an incredibly big community of the most incredible women, it's for that exact reason. It's like, feel like everyone else in the same room. We're all unicorns. So you're like surrounded by other unicorns. You're not like the odd one out. Like I agree. I've been to so many school pickups and, you know, cocktail parties with other people. And I stand there and I think, oh, I've got nothing to fucking say. And it's not that they're not lovely. They're gorgeous. But a lot of women are stay-at-home moms or, you know, in the corporate grind. And that's admirable in its own way, but it's not me. And I need to be with other unicorns, right? I need to talk about stuff that interests me. And I think that's the importance of community.
And you realize that your problems are so boring. They're so common because everybody yes! has the same problems. And it's just such, so much relief to realize the things that you're anxious about, the things that you're insecure about, everybody feels the same and you just move on together. It's the best. I can't recommend it enough.
I totally agree. Well, my love, it was a pleasure having you as a guest on my podcast today. I am sure that everyone will check the show notes and follow you through your Bliss Birth website and any other resources you've got to share with us. And I can't wait to give you a hug in 2 weeks today.
Yay! I'm so excited. Thanks, Lisa.
No worries. Thanks, everyone, for listening today.